study and looking at is kind of as a mention in the sermon. I think it was over in Luke chapter 19, it was a parable that Jesus told, where it said there was a certain man that went to receive for himself a kingdom and come in. And then as he was gone, he left, I believe in that one it was money. I think it was money in that one, in the hands of his servants. And, you know, it's very similar to the other parables where money's left with the servants, where some invested in wisely and some didn't. But the parable was really, it had two parts, because while he was gone, there was a message that was sent to him that said that the people, the citizens of that kingdom that he was to receive, said, "We will not have this man to rule over us." And then at the end of the parable, when Jesus has dealt with those servants, when he dealt with the ones that invested wisely, he dealt with the ones that did not invest wisely. But then he said, those ones that would not have any rule over them, they'll be destroyed in my sight or in my presence. I forget exactly, you know, how it said it there, but, you know, that reminded me, that third verse reminded me of that. That I think primarily in that context, you know, it was talking about how Jesus came to the Jews and the Jews wouldn't receive him. But, you know, that applies to everybody that rejects Jesus, whether Jew or Gentile. Right. Just as the free gift of salvation applies to everybody, you know, whether Jew or Gentile. So that, I mean, that judgment day is coming.
Yeah.
You know. Well, I said, you just preached on that, didn't you?
Yeah.
Okay, I was like, you know, you hear preaching on the radio and stuff, and then I have to go, wait, and, I've heard that this week. Who was it? But, you know, it's one of those things that it almost does feel like some of the folks out in the world just kind of put it out of their mind, and it's like they have this idea, well, it'll be all right. Well, no, it's not going to just be all right. There's a lot of things that are just going to be all right, and that ain't going to just be all right. So it's that judgment is coming. But I thank God that he is taking care of that for those of us that have put our trust in him.
Amen.
Which is very good for us, because there's no way it's going to get taken care of. I mean, really.
Amen.
You know, so I appreciate so much that he's done that for us. And you know, really, at the same token, I can't say that I'm looking forward with anticipation to the judgment seat of Christ.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's been very many people in this life who have really come to the end of their life and say, I think I'm going to do real good at the judgment seat of Christ. Yeah. I don't know if anybody has ever said that, and I think I'm probably going to, honestly, and of course I'll say this proudly, but I don't think I'm going to fare as well as a lot of other people are.
Yeah.
You know, just because I know how much opportunity God has given me, and I know how not well a lot of times, you know, I've taken those opportunities. But at the same time, you know, I heard a preacher preaching this week. He said, in the end, we are going to be happy in heaven. It don't matter.
Right.
You know, not everybody's getting the same reward, but we're all going to be happy.
Right.
So I said, some preacher Billy likes so good. Everybody will be happy over there. It's all going to be all right in the end. So I appreciate what the Lord has done for us. Who's got a request of prayer by uplifted hand tonight? Amen. Amen. Remember all these. Remember Dylan and Zoe. They were at the doctor's office today. Both of them got strep and ear infections. So that's what I told Matt. I said, the one good thing about that is there's something they can do to help them for that. It's not like a lot of the stuff that's been going around that, you know, there's really not anything they can do to help you. So appreciate the fact that at least God has given the doctors wisdom to have antibiotics for those things. So he said Dylan was feeling just really rough. So just pray that God would give them grace, and also that he would help Brother Matt and Miss Ashley, that they don't get it, because those kids, man, they'll get it right to you. You know? So just pray for them, that God would keep them healthy in that. Preacher Billy was saying that Miss Edna's still coughing real bad, so pray for her if you would. Also, he mentioned his cousin, Bill Rector, that said that he's got cancer, and that they've done an operation on him that removed a bunch of stuff to try to get the cancer, but then there was something that was leaking and they had to go back in there. So, do be much in prayer for him, that the Lord would help him there. And I'm trying to think if
anybody knows Jim, it's Jim's brother.
Okay.
Jim Rector.
I don't know if everybody heard that. He said it was Jim Rector's brother. His cousin's a preacher, Billy. Didn't you say they lived down in South Carolina or something?
Yeah. Down in Belton.
Okay. Amen. So remember them, and continue to remember Miss Vivian, that the Lord would give her guidance and what has been presented to her by the doctors, and that the Lord would help us. Her and Preacher Billy, we know they got a lot of health problems, and the Lord would help them. And there was somebody else on my mind.
Jerry's brother died yesterday.
Oh, Miss Jerry Cole. Okay, so do remember that family. Lord help them. And I actually had a cousin pass away this past week. We didn't know about it until a few days ago. She's pretty young. She's only about 5 or 6 years older than me, but she had multiple sclerosis. And the medicine for that ruined her liver, and she actually died of cirrhosis from that, from the medicine that they were giving her to try to help the multiple sclerosis. So pray for that family, that the Lord would be with them. And I know there was somebody else, and I can't
remember. My friend, Claude Wellman, he's in bad shape.
Amen. Amen. Remember this.
One of the boys I went to school with, Nelton Roney, he's pretty bad shape too.
Amen. Amen. Remember these. Definitely remember Katie and the baby there. You're probably ready, ain't you?
Not really.
Oh, really? Okay. Usually, man, Christina, every time it gets down this close, and she's like, oh. Just please, just now. So, what is it? See, are you due towards the end of the month? Or?
Yeah, at the end.
Oh, okay. Okay. So, probably a few more weeks. Just pray the Lord to give them a good, safe delivery, both mama and baby. And, of course, see, now, is there going to be immediate surgery that's required, or is it, do they know yet?
No, it'll be about 3 months.
Okay, yeah. Okay, so not quite so.
No. We did get good news today, though, with some of the stuff that was going on with her brain. Mm-hmm. Seems to be reduced and probably not going to be an issue anymore.
So we want to get praise the Lord for that. Amen.
I'd also like everybody to pray for my family and my grandma. We're pretty much expecting her to pass soon. We don't know when. We're attempting to make her comfortable and everything. Just be with my family.
Yeah, amen. Amen. Remember this.
She's hanging on for some reason. I just hope the Lord has a purpose in keeping her here. Maybe she can soften the heart, especially my dad and stuff like that. I'd like to see it work in his life for some purpose, you know.
Amen.
Got lots of aunts and uncles that could use it too.
So amen.
Pray for them as well.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Remember Kent and Lori's brother-in-law. He's in really, really critical shape. Just pray for him and them.
Amen.
I've lost things that don't think he's in the
Lord.
Amen.
Oh, I know what I was going to mention. It seems like stuff like this is happening more, but probably most of you heard about it, but pray for these Marines. Some of them were in a helicopter and went down over California. I don't know, did y'all hear about that?
I've seen the headline, but I haven't watched the news today.
I was going down the road and I heard it on the radio, and I was working, you know, obviously not in the vehicle, but I was going either to or from a job, so I had other stuff on my mind, so I may miss some of these details up. But I think what it said was they were either going to or from Miramar in California, and they never got to where they were going, and the guys at the destination, you know, got to communicate with, I guess, whoever sent them, said, hey, they should have been here by now, they're not here. I think they found the wreckage, but they haven't found the crew yet,
right.
I think is what I understood. I think they said there were five of them. Is anybody?
That's right.
Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay, so just pray for these Marines that, you know, if they all have still survived, that God would help those rescue crews to find them. I don't know anything about California enough to know, I mean, like, are they out in the middle of somewhere where it's feasible they could be, you know, up and walking around and just can't get to anywhere? I mean, I have no idea. I don't know.
They said there was snow in the area, which is making it difficult.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
That's just
what I'm saying. Okay. So definitely pray for them, that the Lord will keep them safe if they're still alive, and definitely pray for the families of those, whether they're still alive or not. You know, those families are in very a bad place emotionally right now, probably so. Remember them.
As a friend of mine, I'm going to see him in the hospital, Nashville, to VA. He's my cousin, Ron. It's his uncle. His name is Jerry Young. He goes by the nickname Boss. But he's had cancer in his eye for some time. And I didn't know he'd got this bad off, but I had talked to him in probably 6 months or so. But Ronnie said that he told me, in the last week, they took him up there. He's going to have to stay up there till he died because the cancer is spreading to his other eye, and said that his vision was going to go out. His other eye's lost vision, one eye. And they said that we was planning on going up and seeing him tomorrow, and didn't know if he was going to get to or not, because they said they was going to have to sedate him because he was really having a fit because his vision went out in his other eye, and so now he's completely blind. And, as far as I know, he's lost. Mm. And they said that not really, you know, super responsive, and they didn't give him They said he's really deteriorating fast. But just pray that the Lord, you know, have mercy on him. And, you know, I'm going to try to talk to anybody, so you know, ask him if he knows the Lord. Just pray that the Lord open that door.
Amen. Amen. Definitely remember this. You know, just continue to remember Jan, too. She's got an apartment over there. She's got her keys, and she's hoping to be where she can stay there Saturday night. Just pray the Lord to watch over and help her. Just pray for her spiritually. Honestly, I don't know exactly where Jan is spiritually. I can't get a read on her. And, you know, I feel like I probably should have just flat out asked her, but I don't know. I just never have come to it.
What all things does she need, brother?
I don't really even. Christina's got a list. She would be the one that.
Yeah, she's at home. She's got a lot of stuff. She's still missing a washer, dining room, chairs. Anything for the little living room area. She's got one bedroom, so there'll be a little space for a living room. But she's got a lot of other stuff that's been offered, and either transfer it or we have plans to get it.
Yeah, we do really appreciate everybody helping her out. And what I really hope that does is show her the love of Christ. I hope she sees that and what everybody's doing. That's really been our hope in the whole thing. And I really appreciate God giving us an opportunity to minister to her, because it's one of those things where when we saw what she was going through, and we love her, she's family, and we wanted so bad to help her, and so long she was in a position where there was absolutely nothing that we could do.
Yeah.
We couldn't get to her, we couldn't get her to us, and just God had to work it out to where we were able to do that. And I just thank the Lord for giving us the opportunity and making it so easy. I mean, he's made it easy for us. It's one of those things, you know, we never had to suffer to be able to help her, and God still let us do that anyway. And I appreciate him letting us do that. Let us pray that it's brought him honor and glory, and that it'll have the effect that it needs to in her life. And it just blows my mind how easy he made it for us. And I mean, that ain't me asking for a challenge, don't get me wrong, but you know, what a blessing, what a grace that God gave us, because you hear so many people that do stuff for the Lord and it costs them so much.
Yes.
In not only money, but family and time and careers and all these things, and it has cost us so little.
Yeah.
I'm so grateful to God for what he's done for us.
Amen.
All right, that's all there is. That's all.
Thank you.
Good to be here tonight.
Amen.
I've been tired today.
Yeah.
Come home, I was tired, I was going to lay down. I fell asleep for about 10 minutes, you call it sleep. And, you know, the kids is running around, and Sawyer's over jumping on me, bouncing on my knees and pushing on my face. He's like, "Daddy, you asleep?" I say that I am. But, you know, finally rolled out of bed there. She made some chicken dumplings. I reckon that's the best chicken dumplings I ever eat. Because chicken dumplings got me ready for church tonight. Really.
That'll work.
Yeah. But anyways, it's good to be in the Lord's house tonight. I'm going to go ahead and tell y'all something. I got a phone call today from Preacher Michael Webb, and he was telling me that him and his cousin, who also pastors church, Michael, y'all met him before, he's been here for a revival meeting. He pastors Sunrise Baptist Church, is what's his name? You know him, y'all know him. Big old man, got a deep voice, talks like this, you know, what's his name?
He's coming.
No, Sunrise Baptist Church up on Piedmont Road, or Sunlight. Is it Sunlight or Sunrise?
Sunlight, that's it.
Sunlight.
I just wanted the sun ones, I guess.
Yeah. He goes, "You've been there and preached for him."
Yeah, yeah.
It's Sunlight Baptist Church. What's his name? You know the guy who's pastor?
Yeah, but it's not.
Big tall guy.
Jim Harmon?
Yeah, Jimmy Harmon. Is that it?
He's not there, is he?
No, I said he used to pastor there.
Yeah,
We're just establishing who knows who. Anyways, but that's the church, but Michael's pastor, he's telling me that him and his cousin was talking and said that they'd have the same crowd. It's a woman with two teenagers, and said that they had come and been asking for money. Well, he got to call them around and found out they'd been to a bunch of churches around. And, you know, in the last year, they'd been to, he named seven or eight that he'd talked to. And so I called a couple today, and the ones I called, they said they'd been there too. And I remember who he's talking about. They've been here, but they didn't ask for their money. I don't know why, but they didn't. But they have been here before. But in any case, I'm gonna go ahead and just have this rule in place, so to speak. It's not really a rule, so it's going to be my rule. But just so y'all know, this is what I'm going to do. I believe I've thought about today, and I believe that the Lord has given me the discernment to do this. And this is what we're going to do. If there's anybody that comes that's asking for money, this is what I'm going to do. This is what I see fit, and I think this is fitting. I'm going to tell them to stay for the service. And I'm going to tell them at the end of the service, we'll take up offering. And I'll tell people, you know, whatever your situation, whatever their situation is, I'll tell everybody. These people's here, and, you know, they've asked for, you know, donation. If you've got anything you want to give, you can give to them. If you feel like the Lord's led you to give, you can give. And if not, then don't. But, we're not going to give them money from the church because you just don't ever know. Just stay in line.
Right.
I believe I'd rather rob a bank than go and do something like that.
Amen.
Yeah. But nevertheless, we'll tell them to come in and sit down. We'll give them a good reason to stay to the end of service. They can hear the preaching of God's word,
yeah,
whether they want to or not. And if they're willing to wait, then we'll take up offering. That's what we're going to do. They'll give whatever's in the offering plate. Yeah. All right, so just so y'all know,
amen,
and y'all don't think I'm being mean to nobody or nothing else, that's just what I'm going to do. And here I'm at. I believe that's a good way to handle it. You know? In any case, but I was just wanting y'all to know that while I had a chance.
Amen.
It seemed like I was going to say something else. That was Slovy. You was talking about the Lord, you know, giving you, making it easy for you.
Yeah.
You know, the Lord, he'll give you confirmation sometimes. You know, he'll just show you that he's still at work, you know.
Amen.
I'll tell you a story. Last Saturday, I went and checked traps, and one of them was gone at a place I was setting traps. And I found out that the neighbor from the property I was trapping on said his dog had gotten the trap, and he took the trap. And he had admitted to that to the landowner. So Sunday afternoon, I went over to his house, and I said, "Hey, man, I believe I've caught your dog in my trap. I'm so sorry about that." I said, "But I believe you have my trap." And he said, "No," he said, "I threw it away." And I said, "Well, you know, where's it at? Is it in the trash can?" He said, "No, I threw it away in the dumpster at work." And, you know, it was on Saturday, and he was driving a construction truck, and I don't know, I'm 100% that he was lying to me. But in any case, I said, "Well, man, I hate I've caught your dog." I said, "But that's stealing." I said, "You know, I have permission to be trapped in this guy's land." I said, "What you've done is stealing." And, you know, he was ornery about it. Long story short, when I left, this is what I told him. I said, "Well, you were a thief." I said, "And God knows it." And I said, "And I promise you this." I said, "God will get that $20. Because I told him the trap was $20 and asked him if he'd just like to pay me for it. And he said, "No, he wasn't going to pay me for it." Anyways, I told him, I said, "God will get that $20 from you. And he'll give me my $20. That's what I told him, man. And I left. And that's bothered me all week. And I'm going to go over and shoot his dog. I ain't going to lie to him. I have. Because it's aggravated me. He stole from me. You know, I hadn't done it. You know, I mean, because the Holy Ghost restrains me. The flesh would like to. I'd like to take it out myself. You know, I'd like to do something. But it's bothered me all week. And I prayed and I've asked God to take that bitterness from me. You know, because it's frustrating.
Yeah.
And today, I was delivering mail. And one of the guys in the mail route, I don't even hardly ever see this guy. But he stopped me. And he said, "Hold on just a minute." He said, "Hold on." He said, "Look around the house." He come back out there. He said, "I'm going to give you something." He said, "I just feel like I ought to give you this. Can you give me $20? He said, "He's a Christian." Now, more to me than that $20 means is the fact that God telling me, "Son, I promise you, I'm going to take care of this man.
Amen.
Vengeance is mine."
Amen.
Just as I told him, the Lord knows. And the Lord will take care of it. And I appreciate the Lord for just putting my mind in these over there. I ain't bitter over it anymore. I promise you I can't do nothing out of the way God can.
Yeah.
You know, they ain't nothing I can take into my own hands that God can't handle better.
Yeah.
Amen. And I'm not saying that God's going to do anything out of me, but he'll do it out of love. Amen.
Yeah.
Poor old guy, I mean, I don't know. He probably needs to be saved. But in any case, I know this. If I wasn't in the wrong, if I was right about something, and somebody came and stood on my front porch and pointed in my face and called me a liar and a thief, well, I'd be fighting mad. Would you not?
Yeah.
The man knows he's in the wrong.
Yeah.
But that folks has it. Because the Lord knows.
Amen.
In any case, I don't know. I don't have a pastor. I do. But, you know, Y'all are my venting source. I talk to the Lord about it, but sometimes it's good to get a facial reaction, you know what I mean? In any case, so there's my steam blowing off for the week. But it's good to be in the Lord's house tonight, amen?
Amen,
I wouldn't miss it for nothing. I was ready to be here tonight. I was looking forward to it. I've been looking forward to it all week. I have. Been looking forward to being in the Lord's house and worship. I wonder if everybody's got a song they want to sing before we get started tonight. Amen.
Oh.
Hey.
Hey.
Good job.
Sold into slavery, kind of like Judas had sold Jesus.
and how that, you know, he was put to death by his own people, but yet he has also became the Redeemer. That's the same way that Joseph does. But Joseph was a man. Joseph was not Jesus. Just as that ram there on the mount that day, that was not just a type of Christ. Christ himself was there as a part. I mean, he was not the ram, but you see what I'm saying? He acted as the ram that day whenever Abraham saw the ram, and he took it and put it in the stead of his son Isaac. Because in the Bible we see in John chapter 8, we read that, how he said, Jesus said, Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. The Bible says that he was the lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
But here we see Jesus acting as this lamb once again. The same type of lamb that was killed, more than likely it was a lamb. We don't know if it was a lamb, but I believe it was a lamb that was killed to make skins of hides to cover Adam and Eve there in the garden. But there was animal skins, we know, that were killed to cover them, and that was Christ. And here we see that God gives specific instructions, and he tells them that they should take a lamb. Notice what he says here in verse number 5, first of all, he says, your lamb shall be without blemish. It shall be without spot or stain. Now, what he meant by that is he meant one that was pure, one that was a purebred. It wasn't mixed up with anything else. It didn't have any kind of spots on it or anything else. It was completely pure. But more important than that was the fact that it didn't have any kind of it didn't have any kind of sickness. It didn't have any kind of gimp or anything else. It would have been their most valuable possession. You see, whenever you've got a purebred dog or you've got a purebred lamb or goat or whatever the case may be, it's going to be more valuable. And he means he wants one here that is without blemish, it's without spot. He doesn't say here without spot, but later on in the word when he gives instruction in the books of law, he talks about one that doesn't have spots, and that just means that it would have the purest bloodline. It would be one that was the most valued at that time. Nowadays, a white lamb ain't worth as much as one with spots. People want stuff with spots or color on it. But back in that day, you know, they wanted one that was pure white. That was the value of it. That represented the value. Also, that being pure white represented a cleanness.
Yeah.
It represented one that was unstained. You understand what I'm saying? That's why the Bible says that whenever we come into the kingdom of heaven, we'll be clothed in robes of white.
Yeah.
Because we'll be seen as unstained, unblemished because of what Jesus has done. But it said here that this lamb should be without blemish. Meaning that it was completely perfect. Completely and absolutely perfect.
Amen.
Was what the lamb needed to be. I couldn't stand in as that lamb. You couldn't stand in as that lamb.
Amen.
There was only one that can stand in as that lamb, and that was Jesus Christ. Let's look at what he says here. Let's read carefully through this last part of Exodus here tonight. He tells them here, I'm going to skip through just a little bit, and I just want you to get the context of the story. But in verse 12, he says this, Exodus 12:12, he says this, for I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt. Notice he doesn't say of the Egyptians.
Right.
That's right.
He says in the land of Egypt. Now, just as far as we know, all of the Jews are living in Egypt this time.
Yeah.
All of the Israelites are living there in Egypt in slavery at this point in time. And I don't know, they could be some that's still out there scattered out in the world somewhere. We don't know that. But we know the ones that the Bible records is there in the land of Egypt at this point in time. And whenever we look at this, we consider that he says that he's coming into the land of Egypt. That means that it doesn't matter if they're Egyptian. It doesn't matter if they're Jewish. It wouldn't have mattered if they was from another people group. He said, I'm coming in the land of Egypt tonight to smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Hey, just like I was talking about a little bit ago, and I said that the Lord will take care of that man, God says vengeance is mine.
Amen.
He said, is it not stored up with me among my treasures? God is going to execute judgment one day
on this sinful world. And he says that's a treasure that's stored up for him.
Yeah.
Oh, he's a long-suffering, patient God. Can you imagine seeing how people and mankind behave themselves and how they treat one another and how they murder babies and they get out here and they celebrate sin and they get out here and people lie and they cheat and they steal from one another and everybody's so greedy and they want it now. Hey, you ain't got to go to the slums to see this. Let's get the Burger King drive-thru line. Hey, everybody's bumper to bumper. They get so much. You go get in traffic somewhere. You'll see how self-centered and greedy people are. You think God's all right with that? Absolutely not. He's not all right with it with them. He's not all right with it when it's me. And he's not all right with it when it's you.
Yeah.
Hey, but I want to tell you, God's a long-suffering and a patient God. And I'm glad of that.
Yeah.
And his judgment is always on time. I don't know how long that Egypt had went on serving other gods. I don't know how long that went on turning their face away from God. And I don't know how many times that Pharaoh might have denied God. This might have been the first time. It might not have been the first time. But I know this, that God took recognition. And before he ever sent this plague to take the firstborn out of each home, he had sent other plagues to let them know that he was God, that there was none other. Hey, he had done things in their life to let them know that there was none other. How can God's done things in our lives to let us know that he's God and there is none other. Amen.
Amen.
I don't have to sit and wonder if I should be worshiping Allah. I know. Because God is the one that's worked in my life.
Yeah.
He's done things that nobody, he's put things together nobody could have known about. He's took care of a business that I couldn't have figured out on my own. Nobody could figure out. I've had things and needs that I didn't tell nobody about, and God took care of them. You ever had that happen?
Yeah.
You ever had a need? No, you ain't even said nothing to nobody about it. Maybe it wasn't a financial need, maybe it's a spiritual need, or whatever the case may be. And God's met with you on that, amen.
Yeah.
Hey, he is the God. The only God. And he had mercy here on Egypt. Don't ever tell yourself that God didn't have mercy on Egypt and the Egyptians.
Yeah.
He said that he'd come through all the land of Egypt that night. And I'll tell you, God is not just going to come when he comes with wrath. He's not just going to come against all them that ain't Baptists.
Right.
It's going to be against everyone and every person that's ever sinned. Includes me and you, but he says this.
Yeah.
He says, verse 13, and the blood shall be to you for a token. When I see, he said, upon the houses where you are, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Ain't it funny that we sing that song now? Did you know?
Well, it's kind of funny you should ask that, because I realized earlier this is probably where you were going.
Oh.
And I'm flipping through the song book and I'm looking for songs, and I came on that and I said, man, that'd be good. We hadn't sung that in a while. And then I went, oh.
Yeah. Lord so, works it out.
Yeah, right? I still think the Lord led me to it.
Amen. Amen. I believe that. Amen. He says that he says the blood should be a token upon the houses where you are. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Notice that the wrath of God is coming to each and every one. And the only thing that's stopping it is when he says, when I see the blood. He says, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. Hey, I want to tell you tonight, don't be deceived. Hey, I promise you, these people that's preached behind the pulpits, it's in hell tonight. They've said they preach. They's Sunday school teachers, they's deacons, they's all kinds of Baptist church members, they's Methodists, they's Catholics, they's all kinds in hell tonight, I promise you that. Because they don't matter what's on the side of the church. It don't matter what kind of title you've got. What matters is that the blood of Jesus has been applied. He said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. That's the only thing in this life that matters, because I promise you there's a life to come and you're going to live forever somewhere. You're either going to live an eternal life or you're going to live an eternal death.
Amen.
I don't even know if you, I guess you're going to die an eternal death. I don't know how to explain that.
Yeah.
I can't explain living eternally and I can't explain dying eternally.
Yeah, amen.
But that's the options.
Yeah,
amen.
This body was made in the image of God. And it was never intended to be thrown away and done away with. The animals die and they return to the dust of the earth. Every other creature that's ever existed, it dies and it returns to dust.
Yeah.
It's lived out its purpose, and God, he knows every sparrow that falls.
Yeah.
He knows every little bird that's broke a wing.
Yeah.
He cares for every single thing that he's ever created. But you and I were created in his image.
Amen.
He's given us a mind to be able to reason and to be able to articulate morality. Where do you think that comes from? Why do you think animals don't have morality?
Right.
You think animals have morality? They don't have morality. Your dog out there, smart ass, don't have morality.
Amen.
Them little pet goats ain't got morality.
Amen.
You want to see an animal without morality? You ever raise a hog? I believe it's reason that God didn't want them Jews having nothing to do with them hogs. He said, it's too much alike.
Yeah.
I believe the people's more like a hog than the other animal.
Yeah.
If you ever raise one, they are the most self-centered creatures you've ever seen.
Yeah.
If you don't like pork and you don't eat pork, if you had one, you'd kill it and eat it just because you was that mad at it. They are so selfish. They are. They're mean as the devil. If you've got any other animals on the farm, they'll push them out of the way. They're going to get up there and they don't stop eating until it's gone. They don't eat until they're full. Why do you think they get so big and fat? It's because they do not stop eating. It's because they're greedy. They're greedy. They're worried to death that one of them other hogs or some other animals will come and get a little bit of their food. And they just, that's what they do whenever they eat. I know it's funny, but I mean, I'm serious.
Yeah.
That's the way that they do when they eat. Like I said, I believe people's more like hogs than we are any other animal. But they don't have morality.
Yeah.
God give us more morality. Where do you think it comes from? It comes from God.
That's right.
That's what separates us from the animals. It ain't because we got opposable thumbs.
Right.
If people had dog paws, we'd still be able to build things.
Yeah.
Because we were made in the image of God.
Yeah.
It ain't because of our evolution.
Right.
If this is evolution, then everything else got the short end of the stick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think it's going to be that far skewed? If it's just evolution, you think? I mean, think about it. Think about the advancements humanity has made compared to animals. All right, listen. Since they have been studying animals, They have found out that monkeys use sticks to run ants on logs.
Yeah.
They a long way behind.
Yeah.
It don't even make sense. I mean, really, it don't. Now, that's why they got to throw that millions of years in there.
Right.
You see where that comes from now. Because they say, well, wait a second. Yeah, this is taking longer than we anticipated. This must have took place not over thousands, but over millions or possibly billions of years. And so then they stack all the what Paul calls so-called science up to match their theory.
Yep.
Instead of allowing, you know, their theory to match up to the truth, they warp reality to match up with their theory.
Amen.
Because their theory denies God.
Right.
That's what man wants.
Right. Yeah.
God's a patient God. He will have wrath in this world one day.
Yeah.
And all them that hate him and all them that deny him. He's talking about that parable. Notice in that parable he's talking about in Luke chapter 19 that God had a kingdom.
Yeah.
That he intended to rule and make every one of them subjects. He said that there were some who said, we will not let this man rule over us.
Yeah.
God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance.
Yeah.
I'm glad he ain't a selective God.
Right.
I would not have made the cut. Mm. I wouldn't. There's a lot of people who probably tell you that I'm too mean and ornery to be pastor in the church. Probably half the people I work with. As a matter of fact, several of them told me, I wouldn't come hear you preach because I preach to them there. I said, well, if you can't take it here, you sure wouldn't take it there. There's a whole lot rougher there than it is here. You know? But in any case, it's because they hate God, they hate man.
Yeah, amen.
They say, well, them same people tell me, some of them say, well, not all of them, some of them tell me they believe in God. And if they read the Bible on their own, it's that other. I tell them, I say, if you was reading that Bible, you would agree with what I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Or you'd disagree with what the Bible says.
Amen.
Because, I mean, like I said, I'm not just giving them my opinion, I'm telling them what God says.
Amen.
And I laugh about it, but I mean, the truth is my heart's burdened for a lot of them.
Yeah.
Because they're lost. And you see people like that. God is patient.
But whenever he sends wrath, it's coming for everyone.
Amen.
Everyone. He's talking about that judgment seat of Christ that's been called the Bema seat.
Yeah.
Is a seat that the Greeks used to award those who had competed in the what you know was originally the Olympic Games, so to speak, you know.
Yeah.
That's where we get the Olympics from. And it's where they were rewarded. And that's what that's gonna be for us that are in Christ.
Yeah.
We're gonna be rewarded. Some more than others. I might preach Matthew, I might not get anything. So the Bible says some are saved, but it's by fire alone. Just to get in heaven is good enough for me.
Amen.
But it's gonna be a time of reward. But now there's another judgment.
Yeah.
The white throne of judgment.
Yeah.
And everybody that appears at that white throne before that judgment, I believe we'll be there. We'll be witnesses to it.
Yeah.
But we're not going to be part of that judgment.
That's right.
But everyone who appears there is going to have the same sentence.
Yep. Yeah.
It's going to be hell. You ever hear somebody say that, you know, talking about like somebody that's mean and wicked, and they say, you know, I believe they're going to end up in the hottest spot in hell or something of that nature. Man, I tell you what, hell is hell. I mean, I'm talking, Jesus gives descriptions of this as being a place where the worm dieth not. Your body is in a constant state of decay.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen something decaying? I mean, that's the most vile and disgusting thing.
That I
could imagine is a decaying body.
Yeah.
Whether it be an animal or whatever the case may be, I can handle a lot of things. I can handle a lot of things. You can ask my wife, I get blood on me, guts, animals, all that kind of stuff. It don't bother me one bit. I can handle all that. It don't bother me a bit. Matter of fact, you know, we used to have a little thing that's probably a pagan ritual, and probably shouldn't have done that, but years ago, you know, me and my friends, we said, you know, the Native Americans, the Indians, whenever they'd kill the first deer of the harvest time of the fall, they'd eat the heart of it, you know, and they believe it brought, they'd eat it raw, and it brought raw good luck. So we used to do that. We'd cut that heart out of that deer and eat it. And like I said, I wasn't saved then. I didn't know any better. You know, I didn't realize it was something pagan. I just thought it was doing something like the Indians done, you know. But like I said, they don't take a lot. It takes a lot to get me grossed out. But I'm going to tell you right now, anything decaying, anything rot, anything that's got them maggots in it. He says, where the worm dieth not.
Yeah.
It's disgusting. Tell you something, Sherry. Tell you something. If he's got them goats in a place where that it's not rocky, goats were intended, God designed their hooves to walk on rocky terrain. And so their hooves grow at a fast rate. And you see a goat wild, they live on rocky terrain. They're able to go straight up the side of mountains. Well, if you keep them in a sandy bottom, a sandy river bottom, you'll have to trim your feet.
Yeah.
You do. Because there's nothing to shave that hoof off.
Yeah.
And if you let one go too long, it can get infected. And I've cut them things open and old infection run out and it stinks like you ain't never smelled before. And some of them's got so bad, I've seen them get so bad, that when you cut them things and you start peeling them off underneath there as dirt, you dig that dirt out, it's a black pool of maggots swimming around in that hoof. Now I'm telling you, as you say, that's gross, you ain't seen or heard nothing yet. Never you imagine what hell's like.
Yeah.
I'm telling you right now, it's going to be worse than anything you and I can imagine. Just like heaven, it's going to be better than we can imagine. You cannot imagine how glorious God's kingdom is.
That's right.
And you cannot imagine how much suffering, how much sickness, how much vile, grotesque things is going on in the pits of hell.
Yeah.
Jesus said it's not only a place where worm dieth, but it's a place where fire is not quenched. You know, they say that being burned alive is not as bad as somebody might think, because they say that it doesn't take long before your nerves are singed and you don't feel it anymore. But if you had a body that's in a constant state of decay, and it said that fire is not quenched, what it means is there's no relief.
Yeah. Amen.
There's no relief from that burning. You ever touch something hot and burn yourself? That's horrible.
Yeah.
That hurts for days.
Yeah.
If you burn yourself good enough, that burn will stay in there. And that's what that's like. That is the wrath of God.
Some of these preachers say hell is hell because God's not there. That's a lie. You didn't read that from the Word of God. The love of God is not there.
Right.
But his wrath is there. But he said, my anger is kindled, fire is kindled in me, my anger burns down to the lowest hell.
Yeah.
I believe that's what fuels the flames of hell, is the anger of God towards sin. Mm-hmm. That's where I was headed. That's where you were headed.
Amen.
And if you don't know Jesus, and you haven't had the blood applied to your life, that is where you were still headed.
Amen.
Because the only thing that keeps you from the pits of hell, the only thing that can guarantee you a place in the kingdom of God when the wrath of God comes, it's not selecting and choosing and picking between who belongs to this family and who belongs to this church and who what your name is or what your title is or what you've achieved in life. None of those things matter. You might say, I'm a good person. You might say, I do this, and you've got a checklist and you've been checking boxes, and it's never going to be enough. The only thing that matters is when the blood. He said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. I'm glad that the blood has been applied.
Amen.
I sit and I think a lot of times and I feel so wicked and vile. You ever feel that way?
Yeah.
If not, you should. From time to time. When's the last time you wept over your sin? You're sitting there thinking, well, I've been doing pretty good. You in worse shape than any of us. Mm-hmm. I'm just being honest with you. If you can sit there and tell yourself I ain't got nothing to weep over, I feel bad for you. Hey, the time I don't leave church, I don't feel like a hypocrite, preacher. I've got to get up there and preach this word, and I know just how wicked my heart is. Mm-hmm. People all the time tell me, church is full of hypocrites. I tell them one more won't hurt.
Yes. Yeah.
Amen, brother.
The other day, this man told me, he said that last time he went to church, he used a curse word. He said, every church I've been to, and I thought he was going to say it's been full of hypocrites, but he said it's been full of a-holes. And he used a bad word, you know. And before I could even stop myself, I done said it. I said, one more word. I just was anticipating him saying hypocrites, you know. But, in any case, you know, it don't matter what you've done in life, what you've achieved. It takes the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
Yes, sir, brother.
I know what I deserve.
Amen.
It's not his love. It's not his grace. It's not his goodness. I deserve that fire. All the times that I've denied him, all the times I've went my own way and done my own thing, all the times I've known better, done it anyway.
Yes.
It's one thing to sin ignorantly. It's like I was talking about eating that deer horn. I didn't know no better. But it's another thing when you know better.
Yeah.
You do it anyway. You say, I don't do that. I'd ask that question a little longer. Mm-hmm. But the blood is still what's required.
Amen.
Amen.
The blood's not only what saves you, the blood's what keeps you.
Yes.
Amen.
You say, well, since God saved me, I've done this, and I've done that, and I've done this. That ain't what's making you righteous.
Right.
It's the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you this tonight, church, I'm done. If you've got anything in your life that you've not got under the blood, bring it to Jesus. Bring it to him. If there's anybody here tonight that's lost and don't know him, get your sin under the blood.
Amen.
He said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. He said, whenever I see the blood, he said, judgment will pass. Hey, I'm glad that I don't have to go to that white throne of judgment. Hey, I ought to be there right now today, answering for every sin that I've sinned, everything that I've thought, everything that I've done and said in my life. But I don't have to because I've been given glory. I've been promised an eternal life.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Even if you've been saved, we're living in the last days. You know what will draw you closer to God? It ain't going to be because you started doing this better. It ain't gonna be because you started that better. You can't do that.
Right, right.
It's only through the power of the Holy Ghost you do anything.
Amen.
You know what draws you closer to God? You admitting your weakness before God.
Yeah.
Don't be like them people saying, I'll not let this man rule over me. Say, God, I want you to rule in my life. Mm. God, I believe in the power of the blood.
Amen.
Bow your heads, let's pray tonight. Come to this altar tonight. Say, Lord, I need the blood. Don't matter if you're lost. You need the blood. If you're saved tonight, you need the blood. You can't be saved again. If you're saved, you're saved. But if you want to be closer to God, it's by the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
We have access to the throne through this grace that's been given to us by the blood that was shed on Calvary's cross. The blood that's been applied is what's sparing you from hell. It's what justifies you. Have you tried and tried and tried to get a little closer to God? Have you felt distant from Him? And just know that if you could just change this thing, if you could just change that thing, you'd be closer to God. You've tried it, you've tried it, you've tried it. Have you tried the blood again? Bring your soul focus on Him. Put your whole faith in nothing but Him. You can't do it on your own.
Preacher, I was thinking this evening, when my wife was getting sober, I said, Lord, I thank you for her. But it come to my mind, I need Jesus, Lord, I need her.
Amen.
That's the way it is, isn't it?
Amen.
Thank God we need Him tonight.
Amen.
I can't make it without Him.
That's right.
I need Him every second.
Amen. Every second of every day. By Him, the Bible says, all things consist. He's literally what keeps the world going around.
I thank God for my wife, and I thank God for Jesus.
Amen.
My family and all of them. Appreciate them all. He's most of all. He's first in all.
Amen. He has the preeminence.
Yes, sir, brother.
Amen. Pray, Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word and this convicting power of my life. I thank you, Lord, for reminding me especially, Lord, that it's by your blood that I have been forgiven, that I've been justified. Lord, let me not take for granted the mercy that's been shown to me. Lord, I thank you for loving me, calling me closer every day, sanctifying me. I pray that you continue to do so, Lord, through the blood that was shed on Calvary. God, that you'd use me. God, I pray, Lord, that you'd speak through me. And every chance that you get, Lord, that I'd stand, Lord. Lord, unapologetically for your word. No matter what I face, no matter what comes, Lord, I pray, God, that there would be nothing, Lord. Lord, there'd be no threat of danger or harm. Lord, there'd be no fear of losing any financial stability or anything else, God, that would stop me from standing for your truth. I pray, God, that you would just help us all, Lord, to live for you. Lord, that we do it by the access we have to the Holy Spirit, God, because you shed your blood on Calvary, that we can be forgiven and be your children. I thank you, Lord. We ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 I'm going to tell you this before we leave and we'll go. I had a fellow from church I pastored before called me earlier today. He just called to check on me, just see how I was doing. I talked to him for a little while. He was a really good somebody, and he was a blessing to me when I was there at the church. And he was just one of the few, unfortunately, saved. I was thinking on that today, and it just reminded me of the difficulties I faced in life and how much God's blessed me to be here at this church. And I just want to let y'all know I appreciate all y'all. I do. Y'all are such a blessing to me and my family. I don't ever want to get to a place where I just take it for granted. I want to remember, as long as I live, how fortunate we are. And if a lot of you just don't know. I'm going to tell you, just don't know. You can ask my wife. Man, what we got here at this church is something special.
Amen.
I'm telling you, you go out to a lot of churches. I'm not dogging any other churches. I'm not putting down any other churches. I'm just saying, what we got here is something special. You ought to really thank God for that. You got a family that loves you.
Amen.
It's good to you. Praise for one another. We don't judge one another. We're not harsh on one another. We love one another. We pray for one another. We help one another.
Yes.
I'm going to tell you right now, that's the way it's supposed to be.
Amen.
That's the way it ought to be. Unfortunately, there's a lot that's not like that anymore. And if you love your church, you ought to thank God.
Amen.
If you love your church, you ought to thank God. Just keep praying for one another. Pray for me. But I just want to let you know that I appreciate you, and I thank God most of all for how good he is.
That's just like June, that says back to behind me.
Yeah.
James's wife, which has passed away now, but she was talking about going to another church one time, well, several times, and she said she just couldn't feel anything, you know, that come in pants and shorts and all this stuff, you know. And said when she came in here, the first Sunday she was here, she said she felt God, said she felt at ease. And she loves this church, but she can't come at night because she can't drive at night.
Yeah.
And so she said she loved this church.
Amen. I don't wonder. I love this church too. I tell people that all the time. You know, I said, if you want to be at church and you come to this church, you'll like it. And I tell them, say, you know, I promise you, the worst part about it is the pastor. I said, but if you can get past that, everything else is great, you know. But I appreciate all of you. I do, and I thank God for you, so I do.
He loves our preacher.
Amen.
My God, I do. I appreciate you. I tell you, I'd fight for you. I'd die for you. I would. I'd kill for you if I had to. Anybody in here, I would. Y'all are Lord's, but you're mine. Lord, yeah. Put me here, and I don't take it lightly. I do. I pray for you every day. I pray for you every morning and every evening. I mean just about everybody in here, just about every day. And just ask the Lord to help you, bless you, keep you safe, watch over you, grow you, most of all. And
amen.
Use you.
Amen.
I hope y'all pray for me. I know yes. You do. I know you do. I can feel it. And Lord of mercy, I'd be in a mess. What? That's what somebody said. Somebody's telling me. I was talking with a friend Buddy. He says he's going to come Sunday. Y'all pray that he'll come Sunday.
Amen.
But anyways, he's come a couple times. But he said he's going to come Sunday. And he's talking to his cousin. He has his cousin with him. And he said, he's telling him, he said, he's talking big about me or whatever. And I told him, I said, let me tell you something. I said, you don't ever forget this. And my wife heard me, I think. I don't know if he was listening to that part of the conversation or not. But I told him, I said, I promise you this. I said, I ain't what makes that church. I said, God makes it.
Yeah.
I said, if anything, that church is what's making me. And I mean that with all my heart because I appreciate this church. People come here and they feel something, you know. People that goes and, you know, they say, well, the preacher, I just ain't getting nothing out of it. I ain't getting fed, this, that, and other. That's a bunch of nonsense. That's not biblical. You know what I mean? If it's coming out of God's word, you're getting fed. I don't like hearing that nonsense. I tell them, you know, because listen, if you're a member, you stick it out. You know what I mean? But you have some discipline. You know what I mean? People come to this church and they get fed, and it ain't because I'm a great preacher. It's because the Spirit of God's here.
Yeah, amen.
It don't matter. It don't matter how skilled I am, which I'm not, and that's obvious. But when somebody's getting fed, it's because the Spirit of God's at work.
Yeah.
Amen. And you can come and I can tell you this too. If you come with the wrong kind of heart, you can come in the house of God, the whole place be full of the Holy Spirit. You ain't gonna get fed if you ain't ready to. You got to have your mouth open, amen?
Yeah.
Amen? You got to chew and swallow, amen? You can't just go there. I mean, some of these Baptists think that, you know, getting fed means that, you know, you got to jerk their blooming jaw open and shove a ball of food down their mouth and you do it, you know? I'm saying that, you know, in a way, what's the word I'm looking for?
Metaphorically.
Yeah, metaphorically. Thank you, English teacher. I appreciate that. Amen. But I'm saying that metaphorically, you know. But I mean, that's what a lot of people seem to think. I've heard them say that about preachers and this, that, and other. I remember one point in time, I'm going to say something, let y'all go, okay? I know. I'm rambling on. I remember, I went out when I first surrendered to call to preach. We had a revival meeting. And Preacher Curtis's brother-in-law, Frankie Reeves, any of y'all ever met him? Boy, he's wild. I ain't kidding you. He is wild. He preached the revival. My wife gonna say that. But he asked if there's any preachers in that church. And he said, raise your hand. He's over there preaching. And me and some other ones in that church were raising their hands. You can ask my wife. He got us up there and he stood us up there in front, like this right here. And he walked in front of us like this and he said, how many people in this community you knocked on our door and asked them to come to the house of God? He said, what are you doing to help this church? I mean, he's drilled us like a drill sergeant. He wasn't asking nicely, was he? I'm telling you, he's like in our face like a drill sergeant. I ain't kidding. Scared me to death. I've been preaching. I've surrendered to call preach a month. I've preached one message. This dude's up here. What are you doing for God? You know, I'm like, Lord, have mercy. You know, scared me to death. But Lord, I'm going to tell you, the Lord really used that. And I did. I started knocking on doors every day when I got home from work. Lord, my poor wife, she didn't have a husband for a while because, you know, I was bound and determined to get everybody on Willow Bridge Road, Gulf Springs Mountain Road, and the whole community. And I went around, I got run off, people pulled guns on me and everything else. Because I wasn't leaving alone. You know, I was like, hey, man, that man might come back up there and call me out for it if I don't grab you to church somehow. But in any case, you know, I talk to people as lost. I talk to people as lost, and I can't tell you, there's probably a dozen of them. There's probably a dozen folks that told me, said, oh, you go to Mount Calvary? Said, well, I heard this about that church. And I heard this about that church. Who did you hear from? Such and such they do over there. That's what they tell me. So the next time I got to preach, I told them that. I did. I said, if you go out in this community and you knock on doors and talk to people, I said, you know what's sad? I said, it's half the people you talk to has heard something bad about this church, and they heard it from one of y'all. That's awful.
Yeah.
To go and talk about your own church.
Yeah.
And I thank God I didn't know particularly I didn't know the names of anybody. They didn't tell me specifically who told me. They said, somebody that goes there is one that told me, you know. And I didn't ask, I didn't want to know at the time. Because, you know, I was, you know, young and foolish and had enough sense to know better than to know some certain things. But in any case, you don't have to deal with none of that here. Amen? That forked tongue has brought down more kingdoms than any missiles ever has.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen. But I tell you what, we got something to be thankful for. This church.
Hey.
We got a church here.
Thanks. Amen.
I thank God for that.
Thank you.
All right, I'm done. Is our hearts and minds clear?
Preacher, I've always told the church, he was up there in the word, I said, if there's any confusion, don't never start it in the church.
That's right. That's right.
Go outside and work it out.
Yeah. That's right.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen.
I ain't seen no confusion, but
yeah.
The devil can pop up, can't he?
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I've had people swing at me in church. Talk about confusion. It's all the Holy Ghost could do to refrain me from swinging back. But I'm glad we're going to do it on that here.
Amen.
It's a blessing. That's what you're supposed to do, love each other.
Amen.
I see, I'm getting started again. I was going to preach again. If you've got a brother or sister, if you've got a brother or sister that's out living in sin, if you know them to be drinking, you should confront them. If you know of them to be practicing in fornication, you should confront them. If they're practicing adultery, you should confront them. If they're living some kind of lifestyle that is ungodly and unbiblical, you should confront them about it in love. You should. But if they're not wearing the type of clothes you think they should wear, or something ignorant like that, or if they just don't talk the way you like for somebody to talk, or if they say something you don't like, or whatever the case may be, or if they've got a different political view than you, or if they feel different about COVID-19 than you do, or whatever the case may be, any kind of other foolish nonsense, if you pray for them.
Yeah.
If you're right, God will fix it. And if you're wrong, God will fix it. Amen?
Yeah.
Amen. Pray about it.
Yeah.
And either way, even if they are doing something, you should still be praying about it before you go talk to them.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. You should keep praying for them, even if they was doing something like that. You know? But like I said, you know, I've seen so many Baptists just get off and think they're really going to do something. They're going to go confront somebody about something foolish.
Yeah.
I mean, really, you know, well, they're living like this, and it ain't nothing. You know what I mean? I mean, just foolish. I've seen somebody get mad because they said the preacher was eating at McDonald's and McDonald's supported homosexuals. And I'm like, well, I don't know what you've been eating, but gluttony's a sin too. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Jesus said something about taking the log out of your mind, casting the beam out of your mind.
Yeah.
So you can see clearly to take the speck out of your brother.
Yeah.
You know who the worst sinner I know is?
Yeah.
That's him. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I can tell you some bad things people do, but I can tell you everything they do. I know everything I've ever done. See, that's the thing.
Yeah.
But in case, he's good, we're not.
Yeah.
He's perfect, we're imperfect. But he loves us. He tells us to love him and love one another.
Yeah.
He said that's how we're known as the children of God.
Yeah.
That we love one another.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. Is all hearts and minds clear? I'll let you go find him. I might just preach. You go ahead and take the coat back off, Cooper. I'm kidding. Brother Jesse, would you dismiss us in a word of prayer?
Lord, we just want to come to you tonight, thanking you for all you do, thanking you most of all for your mercy and your grace, Lord. Just pray, Lord, you go with us throughout the rest of the week. Lord, help us to live for you and have a testimony for you, Lord. Be back ready to worship Sunday morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.